The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you from California's capital, it's the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Kareem Daniels, and Christiana D. And now, the man, the myth, the mustache. Here's Nate.
Sort of got a mustache coming back. Well, full goatee this time.
But. That's what it looks like. Is that what the official word is and what it's called?
Yes.
Goatee?
Yes.
The little porn stash.
The goatee includes the beard.
Oh, are you going to have a beard?
Well, not a full beard.
Can you grow a full beard?
Yeah. I don't want to, but
can you grow a full beard?
Could you be a beard?
Y'all are fucked up.
Do you have a beard?
Okay, I forgot. I thought I missed you guys. Wait, I'm so emotionally torn right now.
Have you been a beard for someone?
That's what I was asking.
I hate you all.
And I don't know how effective a beard should be, with hitting on women all the time. Coming up on the show today. By the way, if you missed the announcements, Christiana has essentially left us. I mean, she's on an extended leave, so she will not be with the show for the foreseeable future because she's busy. She's got stuff to do. She's got a little kid and a husband and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we will have a new cast member joining the show next month. Ooh, so exciting. Until then, it's Diana, Kareem, and myself. So,
dun, dun, dun.
I think we can handle it.
Save me, Christiana. Why did you leave me? Why? I mean, hey, guys.
Coming up on the show today, a man pulls over a cop. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk about some minimum wage hypocrites. They want the minimum wage raised. We'll tell you why they're hypocrites. And a debate over a fan that almost didn't happen. So, all those things coming up. Kareem, you had a birthday since last we spoke, sir.
Yes, I did.
How was your birthday?
My birthday was great, except for
the fact that you're a year older?
No.
Okay.
Except for the middle part of the Hendrix experience.
Oh, well, tell us about the Hendrix experience.
So the Hendrix experience, for all of those people that don't know, it is a tour of guitarists, pretty much, and they play Jimi Hendrix covers.
Mm-hmm.
And famous guitarists, Buddy Guy, was the guy who closed the show. The beginning of the show was good. Billy Cox, who was in the band of Gypsies with Jimi Hendrix,
mm-hmm.
he played his bass, he opened the show, and he closed the show. So those were the two best parts of the show.
Okay, so you start out good and you leave feeling good, all right.
Yeah, so you start off good. White Man Can't Jump, Wesley Snipes told Woody Harrelson that white people couldn't feel Hendrix.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
But that's not racist because it's about white people. Okay.
So I'm not saying whether it is or isn't.
I'm just fucking with you. Go on.
So the consensus was not all people can hear Hendrix. And from that show, not all people can play Hendrix. Like, you can technically play Hendrix.
Yeah, that's what made Hendrix Hendrix, and that's what makes those truly greats. The difference between a really good technical player and a great is kind of, there's a feel in how they play.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd was on the show, so they had a guy, last name Wild, I think it was Justin Wild or something like that, but he was like one of those heavy metal guitarists.
Zach Wild?
Zach Wild, yeah.
Yes.
So he's like a heavy metal guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Technically perfect.
Right.
I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I yawned through him fucking playing.
That doesn't surprise
awkward.
Me.
Yes. And I was mad because he played Little Wing, and that's like one of my favorite. That's like my top three Hendrix songs.
Right.
And if you don't feel anything when that's being played, you suck. If you don't make the crowd feel anything when that's being played, you suck as a guitarist. And the crowd loved him because he walked in and out of the crowd, and, he did behind the head. So he did all the parlor tricks and but there was no soul to his playing.
Right.
He's like one of those guys who I was like, if he played like he fucked, he's one of those guys who just get in and just pound it out. because he's afraid the woman's going to get up and take the coochie away from him. Like, she's going to realize she's having sex with him. Like, oh, I got to get up. So he's like, he's going through it trying to finish.
He's on a race.
Yeah, he's in a race. And then when you compare him to, like, Kenny Wayne Shepherd kind of ebbed and flowed. Like, he, where it was supposed to be simple, he made it look simple. Where it was supposed to put some panache into it, he did that. He made you feel something.
Yeah.
But that dude, nothing.
There is an ebb and a flow to Hendrix, too.
Yeah. Like, Jimmy made love to the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy just pounded the shit out of his guitar.
He played it like it was a metal song.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and this is the song you're talking about, yeah. Little Wing. And just, you don't have to listen to a lot of this to kind of get that there's a vibe to it.
Yeah, there was no vibe to what he played.
He just got through it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Diana, do lesbians have that whole thing where they, at a certain point, just hurry up because they're afraid the other one's going to get up and leave?
I do that with drunk sex because I'm not trying to get tendonitis. So that's a different reason for it.
Tendonitis? In your tongue? What?
No, well, the whole, like, going down on a girl, that's from, like, that's an emotional thing. So that's kind of like, you don't do that unless you're, like, in a relationship. But, like, when I say, I have that bit where, like, our hands are like our penis.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you get tendonitis.
Well, yeah, I figured
that's why
that.
I tease her about having small fingers.
Fuck you. They're not small. They're proportionate. You are cough blocking me, Kareem. You can't say that shit.
Sorry.
Oh,
man. But you listen to this and you hear how there is a, yeah, like, he played that shit like, yeah, there was nothing to it.
Yeah, this feels like I'm on a really cool ride.
Yeah. No, he is, no.
That's a shame. But yeah. Overall, a good show.
Overall, a good show. That's there cool. was a guy named Stevie Johnson, older white guy. He played pretty good. There was a 14-year-old kid that looked like he still had pimple cream on that played with Buddy Guy. That was pretty good.
Okay.
There was a guy from, and I keep forgetting the band, but he's from one of the famous bands now that played. He was still kind of, he didn't have any emotion either.
So, well, it sounds like they did the right thing. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, we need to get people into it, and then we need to send people home feeling good. Yeah.
And the thing was, that I think the crazy thing was the guy who probably played the most like Hendrix and probably played the best was this older black guy, but he didn't have a name.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't a name person.
He was just somebody who could do it.
Yeah, and so he was the person who started and ended the show with Buddy, you know, like with Buddy Guy.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, like, this is a guy who should have been playing everything. And because he doesn't have a name, nobody would have came to see him.
Right.
Nobody would have paid $100 to come see him because they didn't know who he was. But he was probably the best guitarist out of all of them.
So he's the one who stole the show.
Yeah.
Except for he still doesn't have a name.
And he still doesn't have a name.
See, you should have.
Because you can't even remember his name.
I can't even, yeah. But he was amazing.
That sucks. I feel like, you know, it's kind of sad when you're the best person and you don't have a name and you deserve some type of notoriety and, like, at least something so you can get more gigs. But he's just going to be that mystery performer.
Yeah.
That's kind of dope, though. That's kind of hot.
Yeah. He was amazing. And I guess they tried to make sure they included everybody, because there was, like, a Hawaiian dude, Polynesian guy who played. Okay. They were missing it was everything but an Asian dude.
Oh, wow.
Because we're too technical.
Well, because your fingers aren't big enough.
Okay, you know what? They're fucking amazing. But no, Asians are way too technical. That's why you don't see them, like, in music. Like, the pop and stuff, we'll dominate pop. But, like, when it comes to, like, true, like, soul and, like, R&B stuff, there's some... We're really good with ballads, like that cheesy love shit. We're really great at that. You can tell by our Korean dramas. But, like... when it comes to, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix and, like, just like that, when you feel that,
yeah,
we're way too technical, like, way too technical.
Well, I think that's why
and that's why we didn't dominate technology.
Well, I think that's why the guy who replaced Steve Perry in Journey, who's, I believe he's Filipino, He's technically just dead on. He sounds just like him.
Yeah.
And, I believe they plucked him out of like a karaoke bar.
I think the guy from the, the other guy played for the Black Crows, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just for the record, though, Filipinos aren't real Asians.
No, they're black.
They're Mexicans.
They're black.
They're not black. They're Spanish. Are black. How are they going to be black and their last name is fucking Garcia or Ramos or some shit like that? That's not.
Okay. How many times I have to tell you? The Spanish rule, the Moors ruled Spain for 800 years. The Moors were a mix of Arabs and Africans.
Why is he still talking?
Then they went around the world.
And then they
went, had kids with the indigenous people, and then they became the S'mores because they're not all black. There was a little white mixed in and a little bit of graham cracker.
So
the Moors became the S'mores, and they became the Filipinos. So Filipinos are S'mores, and they're delicious.
Exactly.
See, it all makes sense when you say it that way.
Okay, when we talk about food, when
the conquistadors came to Mexico, there was a bunch of brothers in that group.
I stopped listening to you guys because you said s'mores and I was just like hungry. Stop listening.
Diana tuned out at Melty Chocolate.
Definitely tuned out then.
See, she's a weed head too.
No, I mean, because I don't know if my current employers listen to this podcast. But if they don't...
You love that Jack in the Box commercial, don't you?
Dude, I kind of do. Is it bad that I'm like, damn, that like gives me hella flashbacks from like back in the day?
I thought about you when I saw it. I was like, that was Diana.
I hate that when people like, they're like, hey, I thought about you the other day. I'm always scared to ask like, what were you doing that made you think about me? Because it's always something that has to do with drugs.
And now you're sitting on the couch.
Yeah, he can see you now. There's a downside to the couch. He's got eye contact.
Oh yeah, that's
time.
Right. Damn, can we get those Jack in the Box? Some of the food on there looks good, but I'm like, I did not work out enough for that.
You're sitting on the couch. Nate got a head like Jack.
I told you I have a big head. Nate doesn't believe me.
No, I'm talking about Nate my head. Has a head like Jack.
That's kind of true.
My head's not even that big, but all right, whatever. Well, I'm glad you had a happy birthday, man. Yeah. That's good times. Diana, what have you been up to? We haven't heard you on the show in like a month or something.
I know, something really stupid.
Working.
Just working, I guess. What else have I been doing? I've been, you know, family stuff, been taking care of that, trying to get my shit together.
So you been doing finger stretching exercises?
I wish I had a reason to.
Fingertip push-ups.
I've been too busy.
Is that like the biggest turn on at the lesbian bar, fingertip push-ups?
I don't know, because usually the ones that do it are like super butchy and dykey, and that's not my cup of tea, so not for me.
Fair.
Fair.
Fair point.
But yeah, I've just been chilling, working, I guess trying to get my shit together, doing a little comedy here and there just so I don't like get completely rusty, but at the same time, I haven't been doing a lot.
Yeah. Kareem, you got any shows coming up?
The last weekend of the month, I will be at Tommy T's.
You mean, that's the weekend of November 1st, right?
Yeah.
So it's not this coming weekend, it's the following weekend.
Yeah, so the 30th, the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd.
Cool.
Are you doing the one in Rancho or Pleasanton?
The one in Rancho. So I'll be a part of Shane Murphy and Friends.
Oh,
you're the end friends.
I'm the end friends.
I figured when you invited me that you were on the show.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you didn't invite me.
I'm like, oh, Kareem invited me to see Shane Murphy. He must be in the show somewhere. unless he really likes Shane for some reason. And I don't know. I don't know Shane, so I can't comment. But
wait, when is this episode coming out?
In 2 days.
2 days.
Oh,
Wednesday.
Oh, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, come out to the Witch Room on the 23rd. I'll be there.
That's tomorrow. Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow on Thursday. Come out.
Where's the Witch Room?
You
ask wherever you are.
Yeah, it's across the street from Safeway. It used to be Bows and Arrows.
Oh, okay. It's an S in 19th, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It's out there.
There you go, in Sacramento.
It's a burlesque show, Halloween goth theme. So, woo, scary,
cool.
But sexy. Hey.
Hey.
All right. Well, while you guys are doing that, I've given up. I cannot fight the good fight against puns anymore.
Good. Finally. About fucking time.
I can't.
About
I mean,
punny.
They're still terrible and they're still
hacked.
They're
so wonderful. They're so funny.
I can't fight it anymore. It's like fighting the Mongol hordes coming over the hill. It's just too much. And it finally broke my back when I was watching football this past weekend. And I'm watching the Red Zone channel, and they cut away to the Chargers game. And there's a big sign on one end of the field because the stands are higher. And this is an official sign. This isn't something that some moron made. This is an official sign. And it said, it had the San Diego Chargers logo. And then it said, danger, high voltage.
Oh, God.
And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I don't have the strength to fight anymore. I'm putting down my thing. I'm not tilting at windmills anymore. I will no longer be the Don Quixote of puns. Fuck it. Have at it, y'all.
Wow.
Have at it, y'all. You've won. You've beaten me.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad.
Although we hate to admit it, this country loves corny shit.
Well, I don't hate it to admit that. I embrace that. I will gladly admit that I love the cheesiest, corniest, punniest shit ever. That is my shit.
And I'm not,
for the record, my comedy does not reflect that.
And let me just say this. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to embrace it, but I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm just going to, you know what? Fuck it. I can't fight it anymore.
It's like those comedians that complain about famous comedians and about them being hacky or whatever. And I'm like, but they made their money. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to argue with you about this shit.
Yeah, I don't understand people that hate on people that make their money. It's one thing if they're just born into it, then you're just jealous. But if someone's out there grinding and make their own money, unless you're stealing, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But if you're grinding out there and make their own money, even though that's not your type of comedy, like, or a type of whatever, they're doing their thing. Like, Taylor Swift is doing her fucking thing. Justin Bieber is doing his fucking thing. How are you going to hate on that? Besides Justin Bieber being a little dick.
Okay.
And I'm slowly not becoming a fan anymore.
So as long as you put
You're that, a nice guy.
He's not a nice
he's
guy.
He's not a nice guy.
Yeah, so that's what did it. Congratulations, NFL. I'm like
it's
just
the an NFL.
It's the NFL. It's just I can't resist
it
anymore.
Since you can't resist it, can we do the pun of the day?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is number one.
You only get one, because if there's one of the day, you get one. So make it good as it can be.
Okay, can I do it later in the show then?
Yes, you may.
I want to reserve this one.
I'll tell you what, we'll do it after Cooler Tool.
Oh, perfect.
All right, perfect. And I need to ask this question. Why the fuck do we have an Ebola czar?
What's that?
We have...
Because white people are crazy.
I don't even know what that is.
There's eight people that have been diagnosed with Ebola in the United States, and the Republican Party came out and was like, we need an Ebola czar, we need an Ebola czar, we call on President Obama to do something. If he won't stop every flight coming in from Africa, we have to do something. So finally, much like me in puns, Obama said, fuck it, and named someone the Ebola czar. It's two words, by the way, Ebola czar. And basically, it's just another federal appointment.
And the crazy thing is, they've been complaining about czars like his whole administration.
Exactly.
We need a czar.
Yeah. Oh, no, we need an Ebola czar. What the fuck is he going to do? Go around and take people's temperature rectally? I mean, fuck, man.
I really don't understand. I think the Ebola thing is a little much. I mean, it's glad that it's finally coming to attention where people are like, yeah, maybe we should, like, because it was cool. I heard on the radio that the Facebook dude donated like 12 mil or something to like research so they could find a cure. Because one of the reasons they were saying that it hasn't been, you know, it's curable, but one of the reasons it hasn't been paid attention to is because of who it primarily it's been targeted by it.
There's a lot of stuff around about Ebola, and I just read today that basically, and I forget which country in Africa, the crisis is over because they haven't had a new case in 42 days, which is longer than it takes for the disease to incubate. So it's pretty much done. It's for the most part, it's proper medical care and riding it out. I mean, there was the guy that died in Dallas, came to the country, went to the emergency room. They sent him home with antibiotics, which is like, what? And it was just a colossal fuck up. But he's the only person in the United States to die of it. Everybody else who's been diagnosed is either better or getting better.
Like somebody posted a thing that said there have been more people married to Kim Kardashian that have died from Ebola.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah, that's the thing that I don't get. It's like, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, everyone's like freaking out. It's an epidemic and all this shit.
It is in places where they are afraid of modern medicine. It becomes an epidemic when they think that the only people who get sick are the people that go to doctors, because when you go to the hospital, you die. Well, that's because no one goes to the hospital until they're just about dead. And so that's a pretty good way to indicate that it will be. But the one Ebola thing that I thought was kind of important was the fact that the healthcare workers didn't know how to deal with it, and there was no protocol
yeah.
for how to deal with it. That's something that, yeah, we should be focusing on. Is like, if somebody walks in and says, I think I've been to a place where there is Ebola and I'm feeling sick, they should know what to do. And the California Nurses Association said, we have no idea what to do. And that is a problem. That's just not, that's healthcare workers not being prepared.
Yeah. Well, the other part is when the Republicans are complaining that, okay, so the Republicans have been holding up Obama's nominee for Surgeon General.
And everything else.
And everything else. So now they're complaining that there's no Surgeon General who would have put all this stuff in place.
Yeah.
And let's go, oh, now it's Obama's fault that there's no Surgeon General.
It's always Obama's fault.
So they asked, somebody asked one of the guys on Sunday talk show about that, and he was like, well, it's because he's against guns. And it was like, okay, he's a Surgeon General. That doesn't have anything to do, but he's a doctor.
Yeah, it's not that the general part is not a military thing. Yes, they do wear a uniform, but it's sort of like the Salvation Army. No one's invading the country with the Salvation Army. Okay. We don't need an Ebola czar. But congratulations, people who think we spend too much money in government. We now have an extra government position that pays six figures.
I feel like people should... Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, yeah. Any presidential appointment like that is going to pay well over six figures. Has to. Or else, why would you do it?
This is the thing about, like...
Okay, they're not going to be able to roll down to Home Depot and get Hector to take over as Ebola czar. It's just not going to work.
Well, if this is, like, kind of a bullshit thing anyway.
It is. It is.
Oh, and then they want to... They were mad at who they appointed, but because they wanted to appoint the guy who wanted... The guy who was a doctor who said that Terri Schiavo was still alive, and though she was brain dead.
Oh, my God. They wanted him?
They wanted him.
Oh, God. This is what bothers me about America. I'm just like, it's great that we have freedom and all that, but a lot of people that also have the same freedom should not. They just shouldn't have an opinion.
Well, here's what we need to do. We need to have the freedom to call people on their nonsense and just go, you're just talking nonsense now, so we are going to stop listening to you.
And that's the thing that didn't happen during this administration with the press. The press treated every lunatic, crazy-ass shit that the Republicans said as if it was true, as opposed to saying, okay, you're full of shit. This is not how that really works.
Right.
And well, that's how we got to this point now.
Right. And because you have Fox News who's saying, well, we're fair and balanced. We hear from both sides. They don't want you to... There's this whole line of they don't want you to hear the truth. And no news organization wants to be accused of being biased.
Right.
No real news organization wants to be accused of being
biased.
And
they keep trying to...
Fox.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there is no other side to the story of, say, gravity. It exists.
Exactly.
There's no other side to the story. So, please, you can just stop doing that.
Yeah, so just, it's like, call them on their shit. Like, look, you know that's not true. And just leave it at that.
All right. Well, it's time to call some other people on their shit. The people... Well, a lot of the people involved in this aren't actually from New Hampshire, but it happened in New Hampshire, at a place where you'd think it was just fun. It turned ugly.
An annual pumpkin fest? My goodness, turned into one heck of a mess. Look at these pictures coming in. This was last night in Keene, New Hampshire. Police in riot gear had to use tear gas to try to disperse rowdy partiers who were allegedly throwing liquor and beer bottles, tearing down street signs, setting fires. Dozens of people were arrested, and multiple ambulances were sent to the scene.
I got hit with a Jack Daniels bottle, like, across the face. I was in the health center for a little bit, but I left.
It's ridiculous. It's not Pumpkin Fest. I don't even, from Rhode Island, we're supposed to have a fun weekend, and this is stupid.
It looked a little like Ferguson, but without all the black people.
Just imagine what they would be saying about them if they were in Ferguson.
Oh, well, or if they were black.
Look, or if they were black, yeah.
Get ready for me to say some things about these people. These people are assholes, and this was caused by people who were drunken assholes. And the more I read about it, here we go. Stephen French, who's 18, was visiting from Haverhill, Massachusetts, described the chaotic scene to the local paper as wicked. It's just like a rush. You're revolting from the cops. It's a blast to do things you're not supposed to do. That guy's an asshole. He's just a fucking asshole. Other young people shouted expletives at police, started fires in the road, pulled down a street sign, and tried to flip over a Subaru. That's according to the paper. There were cars that were turned over because I saw people standing on them. Because of the arrests, 140 in injuries at past festivals. So there's 140 arrests last year. So this isn't new. It's just the volume of it is new. The community has held forums inviting police and emergency room doctors as well as residents to explore ways to mitigate the violence, vandalism, and littering that come with the celebration. Because the Pumpkin Festival is a source of pride for the community of 23,000 people, which is about 80 miles from Boston. Last year, the event set a world record with 30,581 lit jack-o'-lanterns. That's according to their website. Yeah. It's
if there was a festival that 140 black people got arrested at last year, this shit would not be happening this year.
Well, and here's where the false corollary comes in, and there's a lot of it that's come through, and this I think was something you posted. Headline, and this is clickbait. So, headline: Black people riot over injustice. White people riot over pumpkins and football. And it's a blogger, and she's talking about the West Virginia riots. Okay, the white people you're talking about are just drunk. They're not rioting. They're just drunk and doing stupid shit.
They are setting fires.
They're drunken assholes.
No, but
yes, they are drunken assholes.
The correlation is this: if they were black people, the conversation would be like a totally different conversation.
Well, what's the point of them? Causing all this riot is like with a purpose. You're fighting against something. You're trying to bring a point. Nate has a point. These white people are just drunken assholes. They're not. There's no purpose behind it. It's worse. It is worse. Mm-hmm.
Right. But it in the news, it's not covered as being worse.
It should be covered as being worse. There's a lot of things.
That is the thing. It is not.
Okay.
So in the news, would be just like what Nate just said. They're just drunken assholes.
And they
are. Which should be worse than people who are protesting because somebody got shot.
But if you're protesting and you're setting fires to things, you're looting and stuff, I think that's just as bad because you're fighting a bad thing with something worse. Or not worse, but you're fighting bad with bad. Like you're basically like a little kid that's throwing a tantrum when someone takes your candy. Like someone stole something from you, you shouldn't throw a tantrum.
Like that's not the same.
Okay.
Let's
get back to my point here. My point is, my point is not about Ferguson at all. My point is about these two incidents are drunken assholes, and to compare them in any way, shape, or form to what's happening in Ferguson is a false corollary. No matter who does it, it's a false comparison.
But the comparison is not about what they're doing. It's about the coverage of what they're doing.
It's not, though, because here's from the same blog. Now, she went to Twitter and pulled out hashtag stuff. So here we go.
You know shit is real when they post out the hashtag.
Let's start with the top one from someone whose Twitter name is Call Me Trademark. The kids at hashtag Keene State threw beer cans at cops and got arrested. Mike Brown threw his hands up and caught 6 shots. This person is comparing two completely separate things. Mike Brown was a very separate incident from the protests. And the kids who threw beer cans at cops didn't just get arrested. They got tear gassed. There were riot police there. Here's the next one. White people in New Hampshire really need to do some self-reflection and regulate their animal impulses in the wake of Keene Pumpkin Fest. This is true. Also, most of the people were from Massachusetts, and we all know they're animals. The next one, a girl whose Twitter handle is Black Girl in Maine, the state of Maine, although there's no E on the end of her Twitter handle. Why are they tearing up their own community? Hashtag Keene Pumpkin Fest. That was funny. Because that's the thing that dumped. There's some here that are pure absolute gold, but there's others. It's just a false corollary.
It's not a false corollary. It's
a complete false corollary. It is.
It's not a false corollary.
Let's compare the police response to the quote unquote riots or riots/protests. Did police show up in riot gear at both of them? Yes, they did. Did they use tear gas at both of them? Yes, they did.
What is the press coverage of it? drunken assholes. That's what the press coverage is.
No, that's not been the press coverage. That's what I've said. That's exactly what I've said,
right,
here.
That's what you said there.
But press coverage was not drunken assholes. It was rioters destroying things.
Right.
And that's from CNN, the same CNN that was on the street
and
in Ferguson.
The rest of the story will not read the same. I bet you on Fox News, they were just a bunch of drunken assholes.
Okay, but that's not my point. My point is...
I know what your point is.
My point is anybody making false corollaries is bad.
I get what you're saying, but I disagree with you.
Okay, so it's okay to make false corollaries because someone else does. Because no one's talking about the truth. All I want to say is, how about we start having an open and honest conversation about the truth and compare apples to apples and make real comparisons of how things are handled, and not whitewash stuff, and not go, oh, well, this is this, the way Fox News does, and the way this blogger is doing the same thing. The difference is Fox News is a national cable outlet, and there's probably maybe 500,000 people who are going to see that post. I mean, it's a much bigger platform, but it's the same idea. And to sort of bring them together, it does a disservice to everybody. It really does. It really does. If you want to use it as a jumping off point to talk about something, that's one thing. But to draw false corollaries is just kind of bullshit. All right, moving on. Let's find something fun. Find something fun. One Ohio woman caused quite a scare when she called the Columbus Fire Dispatch and said that she thinks her sister has Ebola because she has a fever and was recently in Africa. Police and paramedics responded immediately. They followed the protocol, wore hazmat suits, prepared to carefully move her into isolation. Here's the problem. It was all a hoax.
She made up being sick?
Well, the woman caused a huge panic over Ebola for no reason. Well, she did have the one. She wanted faster medical treatment for her family. That's according to authorities. Figured that if she said her sister had Ebola, she would get it taken care of faster.
That's good looking out.
Yeah, it is. Paramedics realized she was lying once they got to the hospital. The public health coordinator, Jose Rodriguez, said, "We are trying to protect the community and to
wasted
our resources." Sorry, no.
He's a dick.
I know. It was a racist impression. Yeah, so welcome to Ohio, the Florida of the North. Listen, if you want faster medical response, don't say you have Ebola. Say you're having chest pains. Chest pains get you right to the front of the line. So you don't need to say Ebola, you moron.
I thought it is chest pains, right? Because I was telling someone about that. I was like, yeah, just say you're like your heart hurts and you're like automatically there.
My heart hurts.
808 and heartbreak.
I'm really sad. My heart hurts.
My girl just broke up with me. What are you here for? I can't stop crying. I'm listening to Taylor Swift.
It's bad. All right. Well, there was a gubernatorial debate in Florida, sort of. I'm gonna.
Oh, I heard about this.
Let's.
And right now, we want to take a shot of the stage.
It's
here
empty.
At Bailey Hall in Broward County, and as you can see, the two candidates who were invited to take part in this debate right now are not stepping up on the stage.
There's laughter
in the audience. What are you gonna do?
Peculiar situation right now. We have Governor Charlie Crist.
So this is the Democrat, the former governor of Florida, who's running again. And he's come out.
Florida Governor Rick Scott, our incumbent governor and the Republican candidate for governor, is also in the building. Governor Rick Scott, we have been told that Governor Scott will not be participating in this debate. Now,
this is live TV, by the way.
Let me explain what this is all about. Governor Crist has asked to have a small fan placed underneath his podium. The rules of the debate that I was shown by the Scott campaign say that there should be no fan. Somehow there is a fan there, and for that reason,
there's a small fan blowing on Charlie Crist's balls.
I am told that Governor Scott
really
will not join us for this debate.
Why can't they have? Why is that even in the rules?
Ladies and gentlemen,
another booing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
because he asked for a fan before.
This is a debate. Rosemary Gaudreau. I don't know. What can we say?
Well.
That's the ultimate pleading of the fifth I've ever heard.
So the guy who came out is trying to talk now.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
No, I'm not.
I'm sad the people of Florida aren't going to get to hear about
the future. We're not asking you a question. We're not asking a question of Governor Crist. I'm asking Rosemary about the situation that we have found ourselves in.
Arguing like little children.
Governor Crist, do the rules of the debate say that there should be no fan?
Not that I'm aware of.
So the rules that the Scott campaign just showed us that says that no electronics can be used,
including
fans.
Are we really
going
to debate about a fan, or are we going to talk about education and the environment and the future of our state?
Well, eventually the governor came out.
Did he really?
He eventually came out, and they finally had their debate. It was like another 2 minutes of this before he came out.
What the fuck are they complaining about a fan for? Might get hot with all those lights. I get hot doing stand-up.
Okay, you're hot all the time.
Hot.
Oh, right. Shit. Yeah. Shucks, guys.
The whole thing, and she put it in her question. She says, well, any electronics of any kind, does that include the fan? The whole idea of no electronics of any kind means you can't just go back to your fucking talking points, and you can't Google something while somebody else is talking
about
it. You got to know your shit. The fan isn't going to conjure up the answer to a question.
Oh, my God. That's so... He wrote it on one of the things. That goes round and round. That's the dumbest fuck. This is stupid. I didn't realize it was for a fan.
Yeah.
That was a dumber
fan.
Than I thought, actually.
A fan. If you watched The Daily Show last week, they did a whole segment on the Charlie Crist ball fan. Moving on. In Seattle, there is a group pushing for a $20 an hour minimum wage. Except...
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. They say government that helps the needy, not the greedy, restore funds and programs that aid seniors, the poor, the children, single mothers, and the homeless, no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour, provide a guaranteed annual income, free medical care for all, including reproductive services and abortion, end foreclosures, expand low-cost public housing. That sounds pretty great, right? They're fighting for the people, right?
Except for who's going to pay for that?
Well, here's the problem, though. They posted an ad recently on both Indeed.com and Craigslist. They're looking for a web content manager, local candidates only, no commute. It's part-time, 4 hours per day, 20 hours per week, Monday through Friday from 10 to 6:30 p.m. No telecommuting, of course. I don't know how 10 to 6:30 is really 8.5 hours, not four, but okay.
That's not good math.
So they've demanded $20 an hour minimum wage. Compensation, $13 an hour or negotiable, depending on experience. Giant hypocrites.
Wow. Maybe they just didn't edit their thing in time.
Really?
I really, you know, there's two sides of the story. I'm sure there's a reason why people are complaining about a fucking fan under, like, the whole book could have got one too. I don't understand why they're all being a little bitch about everything. And then this one, I'm sure it was a typo.
Sure.
3 and 8, no, 20, mm-hmm. Huh? No, there's no, you know what? I tried being fair, and honestly, y'all fucked up is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
That was
nice,
bad.
Nice try. At $20 minimum wage, except for us, because it's, you know, until it's passed, why should we
exactly.
fall in line
in
with
their
that?
Defense?
thank you for that. All right, here it is. Let's do this.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in cool or tool, being impatient and selfish. Kareem,
tool.
Diana,
very tool.
Yeah, and by the way. Chest pain. Chest pain will do it. You don't need to go Ebola. You don't need to freak everybody
else
out.
It's too soon.
It's too soon.
Oh, my neck hurts.
chest pain.
There you go, chest pain. Up next in Cooler Tool, fans. Fans, Diana.
I think they're cool. This is just, at first when I read it, I thought like it took me a while to realize it was a fan, not like a crazy, like a fan, like a, like, Because I just scanned through pictures when this article first came out, and it was a picture of a girl. And so I was like, is he mad that he brought his girlfriend? Like, I don't get it. And then it was like, it was a legit fan. I think fans are cool.
Kareem?
Cool, man.
Yeah. Although fans are, in fact, a tool for maintaining a proper body temperature. So they're both.
And I definitely need some cool balls.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want to be sweating through your balls out there. That's bad times. It's not good for anybody. And finally, in cooler tool, hypocrites. Kareem?
Tool.
Diana?
Tool.
I kind of like hypocrites because if there weren't hypocrites, then the rest of us wouldn't look so good.
That's true.
I think it's good to have that dark side to point out every now and then. So you keep on hypocriting on.
Look at Nate playing devil's advocate for the hypocrites.
That's right. I'm on your... Hello, hypocrites. I'm on your side.
In your defense, it's okay because it makes everyone else look good.
I'm actually not on their side, so I'm sort of being a hypocrite right there.
Oh, what's that called? It's not a pun, but what's it called?
Wordplay?
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Speaking of puns.
It's time for the pun of the day, Diana.
Oh, shit. This is a lot of pressure, but we will make this into a segment because Nate gave the okay. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one on this side, so this is what I'm going to do.
This is the only one you're getting.
All right. Did you hear about the guy whose whole left side was cut off?
I did not.
He's all right now.
Kareem, are you okay? Your side's hurt?
So funny. So funny.
I think I'm going to be sick.
It's so funny. All right. So funny. I wish I could write puns.
Well, pretty much, it's not that hard. Little kids do it all the time. They think it's fun. See, that's the thing about puns. That's what little kids start doing as they first learn comedy. But they move on from there. Just like little kids can't tie their own shoe when they start, but then they can. And they stop having to walk through it, you know, one step at a time, and they just tie their shoes. So, either way. So, up in Washington State, this is kind of interesting. A guy pulled over a cop. That's right. He pulled over a cop in an unmarked car.
Yay.
And he asked him for ID. Now, I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's a little bit long, but I'll play some of it so you can kind of get an idea of how the whole thing went down.
Just flagged this officer over. I want to make sure his unmarked car is legal.
Yes, sir.
Afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Good. Hey, the reason I stopped you today is because I saw this car was unmarked. Is this a registered unmarked vehicle for undercover work? Or?
No, it's a patrol car.
Okay, you're not allowed to have patrol cars that are unmarked. Are you aware of that under Washington State RCW?
I'd have to look it up, but...
Yeah, you really should do that. So there's no mark, there's no indication on this car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your name? Canfield?
Deputy Canfield.
Okay, Deputy Canfield. Can I see some ID?
Can you see some ID of
yes.
me?
Yeah, I need to make sure that you're... No, you need to prove you're driving an unmarked vehicle.
He points so to his uniform. With his
that's his ID.
Yeah.
You seem to be,
well, he's a little taken aback because this doesn't happen that often.
So I just want to make sure you are who you say you are, okay?
Okay. Well, okay. Mr. Sun, I'm not gonna play the game with you.
This isn't a game. It's called law.
Okay.
Yeah. So can I see some ID and maybe license, registration, proof of insurance, sir?
No, I'm not going to show you that. Yeah, this is my ID right here.
That's not ID, sir.
Yeah, well, this,
if I showed you a badge, if you stopped me, would you take that as ID? Come on. Let's be reasonable. Anybody can have a patch, sir.
Okay, what about...
is it a big deal for you to show me some ID just so I can make sure?
I can show it to you.
That'd be cool. That's all I want. I just like to make sure. Canfield GT51, can I see?
And he pulls out his sheriff's ID card. And then his license, too. Shows him his license.
That looks legit to me. I appreciate it. I do. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Driver's license?
You got a driver's license, too. I appreciate it.
I
appreciate the cooperation. Are you stopping people in this vehicle?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. It's completely in violation of Washington state law, and you are culpable in that, the way the law is written.
Okay. So
you've admitted that you are in violation of Washington state law and that you are stopping people in this vehicle. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, I'm not going to write you up today. What I am going to encourage you to do,
it's nice of him.
To do is take this car back. I know you're smiling, but we the citizens do have a right to hold you guys accountable. If I'm in open violation of the law, I mean, I could call a sheriff out here and demand that you be written up.
And here's the thing. The cop is sitting there. He's listening. He's not getting mad. I think he's just more befuddled by the whole thing.
It might be.
He's like, what the fuck is this? Because he's waiting for it. He goes, well, we did just legalize marijuana. I wonder what the fuck this is all about.
Seriously.
I mean, let's say my daughter's, it's 12 o'clock at night. My daughter's out driving around. And she doesn't drive yet, but you get the idea. And she gets stopped by what is supposedly a police officer, but there's no markings whatsoever. And that's one of the main reasons you should not be stopping people in a car that's unmarked, because that's when the safety concern really comes in. Somebody doesn't know if they're being stopped by a police officer. So understand that.
Okay, so that you get the idea, and he goes on it, and the cop does end up saying that he's going to go back and check on that. But that's actually a really good reason to have that law, because yeah, you're out driving around, somebody pulls you over in an unmarked car, you don't know if it's a cop or, you know, just somebody who wants to rape and kill people.
Exactly. That was happening there for a while.
Yes.
In a couple of states.
Yeah, more than a couple. It happens periodically where someone goes and gets a... Because from state to state, the colors of the lights are different. So like in Vermont, police cars have blue lights. And in most states, police cars have red lights or a mixture of the two.
I was going to say, we have both, don't we?
Yeah, I believe so. So you can go to a different state and get something that like a volunteer firefighter would put on his car to go and to be able to go and get to the fire station more quickly. And it looks just like something else. And now with the internet, you can buy stuff anywhere. So kind of interesting how the cop reacted. It's nice to see cops reacting like, well, people. And not like massive jerks.
I'm glad that this guy did that and put them on blast, because they should be held accountable, and they are. That is a safety thing. So that's props, man. Props.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought it was pretty cool that it was treated. Although now I'm gonna play Kareem's advocate here, because the guy who pulled over the cop was a white guy.
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason he got away with it.
That's the only reason he got
away. Probably. Wasn't this Washington?
It was Washington State.
Yeah, there's Washington State. Like, what part of Washington State? Because let's be real, on the east part, there's not a lot of black guys that aren't on the sports teams.
That is true.
I know that because I went to Wazoo.
You mean the college sports teams?
Yeah, college sports teams.
Everyone
else is white. There was another Asian, and she was actually only half. There was another Asian, and I met her at a party, and we looked at each other from across the room, and we pointed, and we're like, I didn't know you existed. No joke, this conversation took place. We immediately Facebook friend each other at that moment.
You know what is like to be black.
And then I was like, you're Asian? She's like, well, I'm only half. I'm like, close enough, I'm not alone.
But we do the nod. We're like, that's universal, let you know, hey, it's good to see you, there's another black person.
Shit goes down, I'm with you.
That's it. So probably in Washington, I'm thinking Seattle and Tacoma, that's probably where all the black people are in Washington.
Oh yeah, no, Tacoma's where all the Filipinos are too.
Yeah,
but that's the law in Washington State. I would not suggest pulling over your local police officer, as results may vary.
How do you even do that?
He flagged him down. He saw a cop and he got out of his car and he flagged him down and the officer pulled over. Because if you're stopped on the side of the road and you start waving your hands like you need assistance, a cop will pull over. In fact, one of my coworkers, his car broke down on the causeway on I-80. And a CHP officer came and made sure he was okay, and then used his car to push my friend's car, or my coworker's car, off the freeway, so that he was out of harm's way.
Oh, that was nice.
That's what they do. Most of what cops do is nice, and the fact that the actual number of cops who are awful and racist and ridiculous is relatively small. Like Kareem said last week, you got to point people out and go, they're not with us. That's not what we do. So, yeah.
If you did that, then people would feel better about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, still hate cops.
even that one?
Cops hate kids and kids hate cops. Mm. Cops kill kids with warning shots.
Well, that's because they shoot low. They shoot warning shots high. And then you won't kill the kids. You'll kill the people on the next block.
Did you just call me a kid?
It's iced tea. Squeeze the trigger.
Oh,
ain't a damn thing changed.
So this is ironic. Joseph Randall, he's a player for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
He's a running back. And, less than 7 days after his arrest for attempting to steal underwear and cologne from a Dillard's department store, he's agreed to become a spokesman for Me Undies, which is a Los Angeles-based lifestyle brand trying to transform the way people think about and purchase underwear. He was not suspended for his arrest, but he was issued a $29,500 fine by the Cowboys. Me Undies will pay Randall enough to help cover much of the fine, and will also provide nearly $15,000 worth of underwear and clothing to at-risk children in the Dallas area schools. Joseph felt the need to turn a negative situation into a positive and teamed up with Me Undies to give back to his community and help families in need. That's according to the head of marketing and business development for Me Undies. Partnering with Me Undies allows me the opportunity to give back to the less fortunate than myself and spread a positive message of not making the same mistake twice. That's what Randall said. He was arrested at Frisco, Texas Mall just 2 days after the Cowboys' unexpected road victory over the Seahawks. So he celebrated by trying to steal cologne and underpants. He was charged with a misdemeanor Class B theft of $50 to $500. That is according to local police. So way to take advantage of a marketing opportunity. Head of marketing for Me Undies.
Exactly.
That's all.
Randall, stop stealing draws. Your mama will give you some for your birthday and for Christmas.
You're in the NFL, motherfucker. Come on. You got to be smarter than that.
Come on, your mother will give you some draws for birthday and Christmas.
Right. And if not, do what I do. Go to the Walmart. You can get like a six pack for like $12. It's all good. You're in the NFL. You can afford it now.
I don't even do that. My mother buys me draws birthday, I got a pair of draws or a package of draws. Christmas, I will get another package of draws.
Well, there you go. Whatever works for you. Meanwhile, in Southern California, this happened. Hold on, let me see if we can get this to play for you.
Everybody, I'm Elsa Ramon.
And I'm Peter Dowd. Of a developing story, a fight breaks out inside a Southland Chuck E. Cheese. And when they take it outside, witnesses heard shots fired. KCAL9's Brittany Hopper is live in Carson with more. Brittany.
And Peter, a lot of people were out here on a busy Saturday night, but by the time I got out here, it had completely cleared out. And that's because deputies have this entire mall blocked off, as you can see, as they continue to investigate. But let's show you some Sky 9 video from above. Now, investigators say two families inside the Chuck E. Cheese got into an argument. Now, the families then took it outside as two men started getting physical. Then calls came into 911 that shots were fired and that they heard some shots fired. But deputies say they can't confirm at this point that any shots were actually fired. Three people have been detained. No one was injured. We are live tonight in Carson. Brittany Hopper, KCAL 9 News.
So a disagreement at a Chuck E. Cheese got so heated that they went to, "You want to take this outside, motherfucker?" And then allegedly shots fired.
It's
now they do not identify any ethnicity here. So let's see. Two groups, alleged shots fired. Anybody care to guess?
What city is this in?
It's in Carson. So
is that LA?
It's near LA, yeah. It's a greater
but
LA
it's at
area.
A Chuck E. Cheese.
Mexicans.
I'm gonna go with Mexicans, man. At a Chuck E. Cheese, yeah.
Well, I was gonna go with the gunfire thing. So that
Mexicans carry guns.
Well, anybody can carry a gun. Now, if it were a stabby thing, then we'd know it was Mexican, right?
I don't know.
Not in L.A. In L.A., if Mexicans carry guns.
L.A., I would have been like straight up like Koreans, because that's all I know in L.A., but they're not in Carson.
Well, and they're probably not going to call anybody outside to fight either. They'll get on the roof of their liquor store with a shotgun, but they're probably not going to the Chuck E. Cheese looking to pick a fight.
That's true.
So,
we defend our shit.
They could be Mexican and black.
It's good. It's true. They could be anything. Or they could just be really, you know what they could be? They could be rednecks.
And Carson?
Oh, well, they could be. Listen, if you live somewhere, you can just drive. Maybe they're vacationing in Carson.
I don't know. The Chuck E. Cheese thing.
They drove in from They drove in from Fontana. Or as they call
it could be rednecks and Chuck E. Cheese, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be a redneck thing. So yeah, that happened.
Because I went on a date in Chuck E. Cheese and Sock, and it was like.
First of all, that
do we even want to know?
I kind of do. Who picked the place? Was it you or was it your date?
It was the girl I was seeing at the time.
Okay, and
was it the youngster that she just broke
up
with?
Shut the fuck up. No.
Did you take her to Chuck E. Cheese?
No, oh my God, fuck you.
Did you meet
Korea.
Her at Chuck E. Cheese?
No, fuck you. No,
did you meet her in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese?
You suck. No, because what happened was, like, I guess she always wanted
Diana.
I hate you
so much. I would so love to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Can we play in the ball pit? It's going to be so much fun.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
Yeah, I'm going to overlook your tiny fingers.
Ew! Ew! No, it was a girl saying she wanted to try the pizza. Because as a kid, she was like, I remember Chuck E. Cheese having the best pizza. But, like, no one wants to go back with me to check. And she, like, okay. She was obsessed with pizza. So we went back, had some pizza, and then did. We didn't even play any games because we didn't find anything that were interesting. Chuck E. Cheese had shitty games. So we
because they're for tiny kids.
Well, we had pizza, and I think, is that
you're
the day
not
we
much
went
bigger
to
than
shoot?
A tiny kid.
Hold on. Did we shoot guns and then get pizza and then get drunk?
I don't know.
Something like that. But, yeah, we had pizza and then we went to go get drunk afterwards. Okay. So it was actually a really cool date. I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
Why wouldn't you just walk across the parking lot to Hooters?
Is it that Chuck E. Cheese? No, we went to somewhere else.
You went to a different Chuck E. Cheese.
I thought it was the one in Sac, but maybe not in Sac. Maybe like Rosewood or something.
The one in Sac is right next to a Sports Authority, and across the parking lot is the Hooters.
You have to be kidding.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's exactly it. They're behind the Univision TV station.
You guys
want
to go to? You guys want to go to Chuck E. Cheese?
No. Oh.
Sure, let's go. I'll see you at Hooters.
Yeah, listen, that's not what it meant.
Kareem and I will be at Hooters. Let us know how it is. We'll meet you at the Sports Authority after. If we haven't had a chance, I don't remember if we did or not. If you're going to be doing your shopping on Amazon, and why wouldn't you? Please do us a favor and go to NateDarlingShow.com first and click the Shop Amazon tab. It does not cost you anything extra, and it does help support the show, so thank you in advance for doing that. Amazon for your Halloween costumes, your Halloween candy, maybe something for Thanksgiving, or your Christmas gifts. Christmas is coming. It is.
No.
It is. More underwear for Kareem.
Exactly.
It is. It is all coming. So that's it. Let's do this.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. So this is going to be a supersized small town news. That's why I started it a little bit early. The Vermont governor's debate happened. And unlike in Florida, everyone showed up. And in Vermont, if you get your name on the ballot, they let you into the debate. They don't just go, oh, only the people with a chance of being elected. Oh, no.
I think that's the way it should be.
Well, let's explore that for a moment, shall we? We'll start with hat-wearing candidate Chris Erickson. She's an interesting lady, questioning Governor Peter Shumlin of Vermont about giving a $5 million contract to a ski resort.
Rosemary Jakowski, the candidate for Attorney General for the Liberty Union Party, 2 days ago she posted online that Peter Shumlin had given $5 million to a ski resort to buy a new snowblower, and that could have been used for a drug treatment facility. Peter, did you do that?
I'll tell you, is it my turn or your turn? Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, Mr. Peters, how do you feel about the state's approach to combating opiates?
So they just move on. The governor isn't allowed to answer the question.
Why isn't he allowed to answer the question?
I don't know. They just moved on. Then there's the Liberty Union candidate, Pete Diamondstone, who's run for governor, I believe, 600 times now.
Oh my God, is that, oh my dear Lord.
Yeah, so here's his take on the economy.
To each according to need, from each according to ability. That should be the catchword, the watchword of what we do. And you can do it in a guaranteed minimum income of $1,000 a month. You can do it any way you want, but we need to make sure that everybody has the minimum standard that they need for shelter, clothing, education. And I should tell you, when I first went to college, it cost me $10 a semester. When I came back out of the Army, I had to pay $10 a point. Boy, was I angry. All right. We need to understand that education is part of the essentials of life, along with clothing and shelter.
Okay.
I'm kind of down for this guy.
We're all down with him, right?
Yeah.
Get ready to get off the boat.
So whatever we pick on as a figure, we should be able to use that. Well, maybe we should make adjustments for everybody, but we need to tax the people at the top to pay for it. Now they don't pay their fair share of taxes. Let's make them pay their fair share in Vermont. And if that doesn't work, we can secede and do it that way.
Oh, my God. I'm done. He was doing so well.
He had you till succeed.
He had you right up to secede. And that's the thing. Okay, now it's time for independent candidate Emily Payton and her closing remarks.
Oh, thank you. This is probably the last time that I'm going to be running, but I'll leave my website up for anybody who wants to see the solutions that I put up there. And I want our people to think about what is more important to you. Is if you could have all the money in the world or you could have all the love in the world, which has more value? We have elevated money to a godlike status, and it is just an accounting system. So I urge the people of Vermont to make your decisions to improve the quality of loving in your life, of the brotherhood and sisterhood, because it is the quality of love in a community that gives us spiritual wealth. And we are very spiritually wanting in this country. Peace can be managed just the way we manage war, with appropriate monetary policy. And we can grow and thrive.
Thank you.
I mean, she has a very, like, idealistic, like, I don't want to hate, because it's like, that's sweet. Then I realize, no, they might put her in power. No.
She's running for governor of the state.
Yeah, that's where I kind of, like, forgot, because I was like, oh, this is, like, a sweet old lady. Like, I would love for her to be my neighbor. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. She'd be fine to be your neighbor.
But not governor of the state. Like, I forgot what this was
like,
for.
Listen, I would love to have a beer with George W. Bush, but I don't think he should have been president.
I would not
either.
I don't think he should be president either.
Well, like, but if he'd never been president, you might have wanted to have a beer with him.
I just still think he's too dumb. I don't know. I think he played dumb. It's hard because, like, this is interesting because this is, like, people at their core, right? They're actually putting themselves out there. But after a certain level, it turns into you have to, like, Rush Limbaugh. I'm pretty sure he doesn't believe everything he says.
Well, he's just a radio DJ.
Yeah, but like I think in general, like with the whole public persona, like Bush, I'm hoping is actually a decent guy that just had to make some people happy, and he, like everyone else, he has
like
a family.
A prostitute.
That too. You
know, okay, but we have more. Let's get back to the small town news. At one point, Chris Erickson, the crazy lady with the hat who wanted to know about the ski resorts, she had some more stuff.
First of all, I would make marijuana legal and tax it. Second of all, I would reinstate all the rest areas on the state highway that Peter Shumlin has removed. And I would save the state from a horrible lawsuit that the state is about to have. Heads up, Peter. When people work for the State Department of Transportation, now that part of it, Interstate 89, you can go 74 miles without a restroom. One man told me he has diabetes. Well, he has a right to work under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and he has a right to a reasonable accommodation. He needs to go to the bathroom once an hour, but he can't because there's no restroom for 74 miles on 89, and he works for the State Highway Transportation. So he has to leave the highway and go to some little town, and then he has to pay money to go to the bathroom. Peter, you're going to face a big lawsuit from a class action lawsuit from the state of Vermont for closing down rest areas and denying your own employees the right to go to the bathroom.
Pee, he can go
you
to
are
a bush.
Uncivilized.
Oh, wow. Keep in mind, the homegirl has a glitter blazer or cardigan, the fuck ever it is, and a big ass hat. I kind of want to give her props.
If he's a man, and unless he has to take a crap, he can go behind the bush, behind the building. well, behind the truck.
Yes, like, he's probably old.
So Peter Shumlin tried to respond, but with this group, it didn't quite work.
Quickly, Mr. Shumlin, do we have a liability here with our lack of restroom facilities?
You know, we've actually been adding rest area facilities. We built a new one in Bennington. I cut the ribbon on that recently. It's beautiful. We've got a great one coming into the state.
He cut the ribbon on a beautiful rest area. Congratulations on your executive shitter.
And I think we have the right number. We're trying to add, as you know, one down in Randolph. So we're going to continue to work on it.
You've taken them out in 91 and 89.
I can assure you that there have been no rest areas removed under my governorship. We've been building them, not taking them away.
We're spending.
All right. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I...
Okay. So he hasn't taken any out, but he's going to get sued for doing it. Okay. Then there was the time that Pete Diamondstone, you remember him, the one who wants to secede... the question was about reforming the Department of Children and Families. Children and Families.
We have an obsession with violence. Killing all over the world. We have bases all over the world. We're bombing people whenever we feel like it. The people who are injured are the dead and the injured in our battlefields.
The injured are dead and injured, yes.
Adults or otherwise, and I'm when I use that expression adult, I don't think we should let anybody into the military who's under the age of 26 years. That should be the dividing line. And we, you know, it affects both the environmental issue right to the top. I mean, 35 gallons to run a tank a mile. All right, so we have to stop the military, zero military budget, close all the bases, stop the factories that build all that equipment and ship it off to the Zionist regime so that it can defend itself against the gigantic Gazan military.
The question was about reforming the Department for Children and Families. Mr. Peters?
Yes.
Wow. How old is this dude?
He's probably in his 70s now. He's been nuts for the entirety of my recollection of him.
but they still let him on stage
because his name is on the ballot, and that's how they do it in Vermont. Everybody gets see. Remember when we say you should be able to just go? No, that's crazy. In Vermont, they give you time, and finally. We have a little bit more knowledge from Pete Diamondstone. We'll leave you with this.
Mr. Diamondstone, are we doing enough?
No, and I tend to go along with a lot of what Emily said, though I think it's, while it's in the right direction or the correct direction, it's not enough. I have a socialist libertarian view of this.
No kidding.
On the socialist side, I say, all drugs, whether they be contraband, whether it be heroin or whatever. And notice, there was no heroin in the United States when the Taliban were in control in Afghanistan.
What?
Which, if you use your head, tells you how it gets into this country through the United States government.
What?
That, what we need to do is make it a crime, seriously, to be in private enterprise.
Listen, when the Taliban was control.
Institution. And everybody ought to be able to take what they want and get it from a government service and pay cost. Because if the government taxes it, that will leave a gap in which private enterprise can enter. And the one thing that we want to eliminate.
Thanks, Mr. Shumlin.
So that's it. That was the Vermont governor's debate, my home state. And
Oscar De La Renta died.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
That means nothing to me. Is he a fashion designer?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, means it even less to me.
Well, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. I think this music is appropriate considering we went out with the Vermont governor's debate. A debate so good that clips of it showed up on such national TV shows as The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and The Soup. That's right. My home state. has been mocked for the past week, and I joined.
I was gonna say you, this is I. That's what. Okay.
I still say that the two guys that fought over the ball fan are worse, because all these people, all they're doing in Vermont is letting everybody have a say, no matter how crazy they might be.
Oh, I love Homegirl's outfit though.
Right. Here's the thing. When you cut it down like this, you lose any substantive stuff, which I'm sure there was at least a little bit of. Let's just suffice it to say that Pete Diamondstone probably going to win re-election pretty handily.
Well, he's the most normal one, even though he's like probably not the best one, but he was normal-ish.
Of that crew, he's the best one.
I don't know. I still like Homegirl that was like talking about, you know... Peace and love. Or the old lady talking about bathrooms for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. The one with the hat. Crazy lady with the hat.
The one with the outfit, though.
Yeah, that's great.
Diana in 20 years.
That's true. I'm 26, Kareem.
That's right.
So in 46 years, you're saying I'm going to look toe up like that.
Yep.
20 years.
So I'm 46 years old. I hate you.
Hey, everybody. Take care. We'll see you on the new show on Friday. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.